I want to emphasize preaching on the family this month. We're going to still do our book of Revelation on Wednesday night, but the Sunday morning, Sunday nights, Sunday school time, we're going to try to sneak in as many messages on the family. And I'm going to give some instructions to grandparents today. And you may say, well, I'm not a grandparent. How's this going to apply to me? Everything I'm going to say to the grandparents, I want you to listen to as grandchildren. If you still have any of your grandparents alive, how many of you have at least one grandparent alive? Would you raise your hand? Good. You're going to get some really good instruction, I think, because I'm going to talk a little bit about this relationship, and I'm going to kind of make it from time to time a two-way street, even though for the most part, I'm going to kind of focus in on grandparents. How many of you are grandparents? Would you raise your hand? Ah, this is the best, isn't it? Man, what do they say? If we knew grandkids was this great, we'd have had them first. And then there's the other standard joke everybody's got to give, you know, grandchildren reward for not killing your kids. And so got those two out of the way, amen. But Psalms 128 gives us a wonderful verse concerning grandparents. If you look in Psalms 128 and then verse number 1, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord and walketh in his ways. Don't ever forget that, by the way. We're going to get down to verse 6 and kind of use that as a launching pad. But folks, I understand that sometimes doing right, living right, doesn't seem like it always pays off immediately. But I will tell you this, if you'll consistently just walk in the ways of the Lord and fear the Lord, what you're going to do is you're going to accumulate blessings along the way. And so don't let the devil ever try to talk you into the idea that somehow the wicked are better off than you are. Doing right has its own reward, and we're actually going to preach a little bit on that this morning. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. And then this wonderful verse, yea, thou shalt see thy children's children and peace upon Israel. Heavenly Father, bless us, Lord, as we take a look at this very, I think, sacred, I think, beautiful relationship, dear God, between a grandparent and their grandchildren, between the grandchildren and their grandparents. And so, Lord, give us good instruction. Thank you, dear God, that you have deemed our lifespan such that we can enjoy, Lord, our children's children, Lord, in most instances. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll bless and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All righty, good. What I'm going to give you is a lot of practical information. Let me kind of tell you why in particular I was spurred to start here this week. It's because I've got to return a Bible I borrowed. Were any of you in here, were any of you at Steve Davis's funeral? Would you raise your hand? And by the way, thank you. I know, of course, during a work day, it's not possible for everybody to be there. But we had a great representation from Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And I just want to say to our church, thank you about that. You can't always, I get, come to funerals. But folks, as many as you can, you know, when somebody passes away from Blessed Hope Baptist Church, I think to me that feels like one of my families passed away. And we ought to support the family that's left and just do the best we can. But one of the things that Cindy gave me the day of the funeral, and I got there quite early. I always try to get there. They usually do an hour viewing of just family before they let, you know, the public in. And I won't be there when that starts because I always feel like that ought to just be family time. I usually come in about at the hour, half hour break. And not so much to interrupt, but enough to let them know that I'm there. And because sometimes being able to take a few minutes with the family, and sometimes they need a little bit of the comfort of a pastor during that time. Always try to have prayer with the family before everybody else comes in, and let them kind of get some emotion out and talk some things out. And it's always a very sweet time. I enjoy it. But one of the things she had already told me about, she said she was going to bring, was Steve's Bible. And grandparents, I'm doing this for a reason, because Steve Davis wrote some things in his Bible. I don't mean just a couple things. He wrote a lot of things in his Bible. He used the front cover of his Bible to write some things. And some of these things were information about him. Some of it was his personal testimony of his salvation. But some things he wrote in his Bible were for his children and his grandchildren. I mean, he specifically addressed them. In fact, one of the grandchildren told me that you didn't touch Papa's Bible. If he looked over and you were messing with his Bible, he'd say, hey, leave that alone. That's mine. So, and I think it's because he didn't really want them to read this until after he was gone, but he left them some things. And as I was preparing for the message, you know, I'd already shown up with my Bible and with a sermon. By the time I got done spending about a half hour reading through his Bible, I took my Bible and my sermon back to the car and realized I didn't need my Bible. I'll just use Steve's Bible. And I didn't really need to prepare a sermon. I think he's already written it for us. And I was able to read some of these things. And after I did, I'm going to read a few things to you because it'll give you, I think, a sense and an idea. But I guess after I got done, me and Cheryl were talking on the way home, and I said to myself, boy, there's something we can learn from this. You know, I wish every single Christian, grandma and grandpa, would take some time to write some things down, whether you write them in your Bible or whether you write them in a notebook or however you're going to do it. There's some things that ought to be left as a heritage for your children. And he wrote part of his testimony in here. He said this, this is his handwriting. I love my Lord. I believe in Jesus who died for all of us. I look forward upon the day I'll be with all my family in heaven. I'll not be afraid to die, for my Lord is with me always, and until time itself, my heart and soul belongs to my God. For his will always be done. I pray my children and grandsons and daughters will honor my Lord and believe in Jesus always, for he doth hear and he doth answer all prayers. He wrote some other things. Been with Blessed Hope Baptist Church since 1989. Cindy joined the church in February 2005. Always thought we were members, seeing we've been there for over 16 years, ? Then he wrote some other things here. He wrote some things about Dad that I thought was neat. He said, this Bible, by the way, that I'm holding was given to me by Reverend Bob Ross, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, 1989. Only man I ever knowed who had a, and it is knowed because he's from Southern Indiana, only man I ever knowed who has a special light in his eyes from God himself. I love him as a true brother in Jesus who always speaks the truth through the Lord himself. He is God's messenger. I believe he is a prophet of God, surely sent by God, loved by many. Only preacher that ever made me understand this book by his preaching. Amen. And I told the crowd there after I read that, he wrote that before he heard me preach, you know, obviously. But but he wrote these things down. And I thought to myself as I read this, how precious this was. He wrote a little note to his kids. Kids, and then he has this in parentheses, be smart. Always pray and give unto the Lord all thine praise and glory to him always. He's got notes of different ones of his grandchildren when they accepted Christ as their Savior, when they were baptized, and he wrote all of those things. I won't read it all. In the back here, though, and this will help us as far as launching into what I want to teach tonight. But there was a, by the way, Proverbs 31, he wrote this, some of the sweetest things at the end of Proverbs 31 about Cindy, his wife. She never had seen that until he passed away. And she said to me when she handed the Bible, you got to look at Proverbs 31. He said some of the nicest things about me. And so I read them at the funeral, and you could tell it was just such an encouragement to her. In the back of his Bible, and this will kind of launch us into where we're going, he wrote, always remember, there is never nothing too hard for the Lord thy God. Ask and you will receive. Knock and the door will open. Now I know why my mom read her Bible every night. It's what kept her going. I saved my dad, and what he meant by that is he led him to the Lord a week before he died. I'll always remember my roots and my family and where I was saved by the Lord, 1989, August, Spencer, Indiana. By the way, this is testimony. I didn't read this at the funeral, but right after that, he wrote the word jail in an exclamation point. You may or may not know this, but my dad went to visit him in jail and led him to the Lord. And I'll never forget the miry clay he brought me out of. Blessed be the Lord my God. And then he wrote this. I pray all my children and grandkids read and study this good book. It's in this book where you will always find an answer. Get saved first, then get baptized with water. Put your whole heart into thy Lord God, and he will bless you always. It would be my last request that each and every one of my children do this for me, but especially for yourselves, to live a long life here and give me a great honor in doing so. All my love, Dad. Now, you imagine as you're reading this and as it's being read to the kids and Cindy's getting this, how precious this is. This is why when she comes today, I want to get this Bible back in her hand. She wanted me to take it home for a week, and I told Cheryl, I'm terrified to have this because if something happens to it, I feel like, you know, this is a few things that are irreplaceable. So anyway, I'm going to leave it right here, and when she comes in, somebody, if she comes this morning, you remind me, let's get this back to her. It kind of jogged some things in my mind as far as responsibilities to grandparents. And so I want to talk to the grandparents, but all of you that are not grandparents but still have grandparents, I want you to think about this. And I want you to think about spending some time with your grandparents. I'm going to challenge some of you grandparents to leave your family some type of written heritage, some messages. Brother Dively has, you mind if I share what you've done for your funeral? He's recorded on a cassette tape, if we can find a cassette tape player. I don't even know, we'll have to go to an antique store, but he's got a cassette that he's recorded that he let me listen to that he once played at his funeral. And you know what? I think that's neat. Can you imagine? You know, I thought about that, you know. All of a sudden, I'm doing his funeral. He's in state here, and all of a sudden we pipe his voice across the speakers, and it's because he wanted to say some things directly to his family. You know, you may not want to do that, but I think certainly there ought to be some things that you write down. And before you just kind of wave the white flag and say, I can't do that, listen, I'm not asking you to even do everything that I'm going to suggest, but do something. Do you realize that when you die, you know, I've got too many old people, let me just say this, okay, and I'm kind of getting into that age group, so, you know, don't take offense, but I got too many elderly people sitting home feeling sorry for themselves, okay? You can be doing something, okay? If you can write, you can do something. And one of the things you ought to spend your time doing is leaving a heritage, leaving some information for your children. How many of you don't have any grandparents left? All right, I'm in here. Wow, look around. Really? Wow. How many of you would love to have one day with a grandparent? One day, all right? You know, when mom and dad passed away, you know, mom's left several boxes of stuff. And so, you know, there's a process you go through as you're going through all of this. And I'm coming across several things where I'm like, what in the world? And I want to ask her about it. You're going to come across pictures and say, I don't know who these people are. And yet, you know what? My grandma and grandpa knew, or my mom and dad knew, but guess what? I can't go ask them anymore. And all of us is going to have a certain amount of this. I mean, we are. But I think the most important things we ought to leave behind to influence, watch this, your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren even after you are gone off of this earth. And so, because if you don't do this, when you die, everything that you know and everything that you, information you could have, it's gone. And there's nobody that's going to be able to come and ask, and there's no place they're going to be able to go to hear some of these personal things. I don't know about you, but I think it's a powerful thing in my life to know a little bit about my ancestors, to kind of have a feeling of understanding of where I came from and how God worked through the generations to do what he's done in my family's life. And so let me give you some suggestions, very practical things. And again, don't get overwhelmed by them. If you don't feel like you can do them all, then do some of them. Number one, let me start by saying this real quick. If you have lived long enough to see your children's children, you are blessed. You are blessed. And I asked a second ago, how many of you are grandparents? How many of you are great-grandparents? We have great-grandparents in here. Look at that. Great-grandparents. That is awesome. That is awesome. You are doubly blessed. Amen. Now, let me just give you some real practical instructions. Every grandparent should leave an inheritance to their grandchildren. Leave an inheritance. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? You know, I don't have much money. And no, I'm not talking about land. I'm not talking about money. I'm not talking about bank accounts. I'm not, you know, isn't it terrible when we say inheritance as Christians, as American Christians, we can't get the materialism out of our mind. The most important things you leave has nothing to do with finances. Absolutely nothing to do with finances. I believe every grandparent should leave an inheritance to their grandchildren. An inheritance of what then? What are we talking about? An inheritance of wisdom that was learned from the previous generations. Now, I may repeat this again, but, you know, folks, think about this. I have grandchildren. My grandchildren do not know my mom and dad. They have very few, if any, memories of her. My grandchildren certainly don't know my grandparents. Okay, they never got a chance to meet them at all. And you know what? If I don't hand them something to tell them about their grandparents, their great-grandparents, and their parents, listen, I know some people get into the ancestry thing, you go all the way back, but I'm not talking about just names on a piece of paper. I think that's great. I think that's cool. But I'm talking about people that you knew, people that you have stories about. I brought this, and I think I've shown it to you before. I'm working on doing another one. But this is a very simple thing. And you can get somebody to help you. Somebody in your family can help you with this. Don't call me. I'm not going to do it for you, okay? But somebody in your family can help you do this. But you can order these from Shutterfly, and you can get online and make these little picture books. And this is a picture book about our grandparents, Marvin and Ruth Ogle. And there's Lori and Bobby, and look how cute I was. There's Jerry, and there's David. And we were children once, and that's something. And this is about my grandparents, Marvin and Ruth Ogle, and it starts all the way back. Started first of all with my Grandpa Ogle, and these are early pictures of him. And this is his mom and dad. This is some of his relatives. There's an explanation. Hey, if there's not something written about that picture, nobody's going to know in two generations who that person was. My grandpa served in World War II in the Navy. There's a picture of the ship he served on. And anyway, it's organized for them. Let me tell you what most people inherit, because I inherited it. Boxes of thousands of pictures, hundreds of pictures. And honestly, probably 2/3 of them, I had to go over and throw in a stack because nothing's written on the back of them. I don't know the people. I don't know the place. I don't know where it was taken. I don't know anything about it. And all of that's going to end up in the dumpster, okay? And listen, he went the way of all men, okay? You know, I kind of tell this thing every once in a while, I do this thing to kind of deflate us a little bit and get us back to having a humble heart. And I say, you know, how many of you can name all your grandparents? And most people can. How many can name all your great-grandparents? Some people can. How many can name all your great-great-grandparents? One person, maybe in the congregation, two. And I tell everybody, listen, in two or three generations, your own family's not going to remember you, so get over yourself, okay? So there's a part of us that we're going to go the way of all men. And the most important thing is that they remember Jesus. It doesn't matter if anybody three generations knows who Jerry Ross is. But if a lot of people know who Jesus is because of the way I live my life, then you know what? That's a life worth living. Because he must increase and I must. But there are some things amongst family that I think is important. Might not be important to anybody else. I don't expect anybody in this room to care a hoot about what's in this. But I'd like my grandchildren... I've sat in my living room with my grandchildren around me with this book and said, let me tell you about my grandpa. I had a grandpa and grandma, just like I'm your grandpa and grandma, and went through this and was telling them stories. And I think that that's good. Now listen, if you don't do something like this, then when you die, all this stuff dies with you. And the memory of them die with you. I think one of the way we help extend people's life and influence is by passing on what we've learned from them. See, I got to meet two generations, actually three generations, because I got to spend some time with my great-grandpa Sloan, who, by the way, was a preacher. And, you know, I got to spend a little bit of time with him, meet him as a child before he passed away. I got pictures of us kids standing by Grandpa Sloan. And so, you know, I can pass some of that knowledge down. You have an inheritance that you need to leave to your family. Inheritance of wisdom learned from the previous generation. Inheritance of firsthand U.S. history. I'll talk about that in a minute. Of the America you grew up in. Leave your grandchildren. Here's some suggestions. Written details of their ancestors. And you don't have to be deep into the genealogy, but man, they ought to know who your parents were, who your grandparents were, and who your great-grandparents were. You know, they ought to know where they're buried. Okay? I mean, you know, some of that information's gone in our family. Some of it we preserved. You know, they ought to know when their birthdays were, when they were married, a little bit about their lives. Somebody's got to write this stuff down. You ought to have some information, write down some information, stories about the generations of your family that your grandchildren did not have the opportunity to meet. And so I'm going to pass out this piece of paper because maybe this will, Brother Samuel, would you help me? Maybe Brother Chad and then Nathan will help me there. I'm going to send this home with you, okay? I mean, come on, Sunday school, isn't that what it's called, Sunday school? Come on, Miss Amelia, don't we send home assignments sometime in school? All right then, so all right. Some of you are thinking, you're kidding me. I got an assignment in Sunday school? Yeah, yeah. All righty. I think Brother Gordon has plenty extra if you run out on this side, so good, good. I didn't keep one. I need to get one of those back. All right, good. We good? If you didn't get one, raise your hand and they'll come right to you. Who didn't get one? All right, we're working down this side. Good. In the very back over there. Good. All right. Let me go down through this because I'm going to give you some suggestions that I think are super important. Should have enough. Keep your hand up if you didn't get one. Good job. Good. Okay, as I go through this, we good? All right. Why is it that corner back there so much trouble? It's Becky. Becky's back there. That's what's going on. What? Everywhere. Oh, you got one. You're okay. All right. Okay. Just checking. There's always a troublemaker somewhere, so. I know, he just don't want to share. He's giving them to you one at a time, Brother Val. Like, okay, I'll give you one, but I'm not giving you any more than that, all right? Thank you very much. Samuel finally comes home. We pick up where we left off abusing him, you know, so. All right, grandparent information sheet. All right, some of you are right now going, preacher, I'm in the wrong class. What does this have to do with me? Listen, I'm going to encourage your grandparents, the grandparents in here, to write some things down. Many of you have grandparents that are not in here. And they are not going to write these things down unless you go to them with something like this. And, you know, I don't care if you call them once a week. By the way, shame on you if you don't call your grandparents once a week. Come on. Come on, amen. I want an amen from the grandparents, all right? Come on now. I mean, grandparents are important people. You ought to be calling at least once a week, if not every day. And you should drop by an apple pie at least every other week, you know. But all right, so one of the things that I think everybody ought to leave their family, look at number one, is a written testimony of your conversion. Now stop being Baptist and reading five ahead and listen to me, okay? Everybody look up here after you read number one, stop cheating. This is why I hardly ever pass out papers in advance, because you can't be trusted, all right? A written testimony of your conversion. Nobody that's saved ought to die and have family wondering whether or not they were saved. If it is so, what do we say around here? If it is so, say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And so there ought to be a record of it. But not just that you're saved. I mean, I love the fact that Steve Davis, and I hope I wasn't out of turn there, I just love the fact that he was so honest in his testimony about where he received Christ as his Savior. I don't look at that as a bad thing. I think that's an amazing thing because it brags on the grace of God that here he is in a terrible situation, and yet God found him there. And you know what? I don't know what all of his ancestors will end up being and doing, but folks, listen to me. In every family, there's problems. And you just don't know how God's going to use that down the road in maybe one of his great-grandchildren who runs into a hard patch, and one of the family members comes by and says, let me tell you a story about your great-grandpa. He was sitting where you sat. You know what? He found Jesus, changed his life. So, you know, be willing to share that. I think this is interesting. Key events in U.S. and world history and how it affected your life. One of the things I loved talking to my grandpa about was World War II, because he was a part of it. And I loved to sit there and listen to him tell the stories. My grandmother was a child during the Great Depression. And I talked to both my grandpa and my grandma. He was raised out in the country. She was raised in Indianapolis. And the difference of the effect of the Great Depression had on them. For country people, they were just glad the rest of the world finally had to live like that. You know? He's like, we were always depressed, so we didn't even know what was going on, you know. But he said this. He said there was an advantage to live in the country because, you know what, at least we had our milk cow and we could plant our crops and we had our garden and, you know, we didn't go hungry, where my grandma dealt with health problems even later on in life because of some of the malnutrition that she faced by living in the inner city. And, you know, I'm just listening to stories like this, okay? And so you as a grandparent could write down, you know, you ought to go back and kind of think through from the day you were born. I wrote this stuff out and I didn't bring it with me. But from the day my mom was born until she was 40 years old, I just went down through and wrote every major event, historical event that happened in the United States, not world history, just United States, in her lifetime. And when I got done writing all this stuff down, I went and sat down and talked to her, and I said, okay, you lived through all this stuff. And she's looking down, yeah, I remember, yeah. Okay, well, tell me, which one of these affected you? Which one of them did you not even know what was going on? You know, what do you have clear memory of? And just be able to pull some stories from her. Write down just some of the facts, folks. Number three, the names of you and your wife, your siblings, your parents, your grandparents. You say, well, they ought to know that. Well, they're not going to know that. Not if somebody don't write it down. Birth dates, wedding anniversaries, date of deaths, where they're buried. Now, right here, some of you saying, okay, I don't know all that stuff. Okay, then write down what you know. Listen, once they're passed away, I lost my mom and dad and my grandparents now. Every scrap of paper that has any information on it is very precious. I mean, some of the stuff that's written in a Bible, some of the stuff that's just written on notebooks, some of the notes written on the back of a picture, any information that's written down, all of a sudden, man, that means a lot to me right now. So take the time to write it down. Number four, best memories of your parents and grandparents. I think you ought to take some time to write some personal stories about your parents. You know, some of your best memories of spending time with them, where they lived, holidays, something that happened, personal stories. And then I like this, the best lessons or advice your parents and grandparents taught you by word or by example. And again, folks, I'm not talking about just write everything down. I'm talking about leaving a heritage. I want to write down the kinds of things that are going to challenge my grandchildren, encourage my grandchildren, want them to be better people. And so think about that. Write down some of your childhood memories. Number seven, your favorite childhood memories. I think I skipped number six. Listen, I think this is good. If you can be transparent and humble, come on. Personal lessons learned in your life from both good and bad decisions. One of the things I sat down with my grandpa Ogle and asked him one time was, I said, what do you think was the best decision you ever made in your life? Maybe the top two or three. And I said, Grandpa, can I ask you this? What's one of the worst decisions you made? He said, oh, that's easy. And he shared a story with me. And it's personal, and I'm going to keep it between me and him. But you know what? He shared some life lessons that he learned from that. And after he got done, he looked at, well, he gave me two or three. One of them, you know what he did? Was he reached over in the ashtray and picked up a cigarette. I remember as a little boy, and he said, one of the worst decisions I ever made was picking up this habit. And he looked at it and said, son, don't do this. don't do this. You know, I was 9, so I quit immediately. I threw them all away, and I said, I'm learning from my grandpa, amen. You know, favorite childhood memories, number 7. Describe what it was like to live in America and how it has changed in your lifetime. I think somebody needs to tell this new generation about America they never got to see. And to give them a hunger in their hearts to want to turn our nation back to what it used to be. How are they going to know if we don't talk about it? How about number 9? What was the saddest moment of your life? What was the happen? And these are just hopefully things that will just get your mind going. I'm just giving you some ideas here. What was the saddest moment of your life? What was the happiest moments in your life? And then the kids and grandkids always like my funny stories. You know, they don't want to hear anything too serious. They're always wanting to hear funny stories. Well, write down some funny stories that they can pass on to their kids. Something that happened to you as a kid, something that happened to you as a teen. Why did your parents choose your name? Who are you named after? Just little pieces of information may pertain to you, may not. Number 12, who were the men and women who influenced your life for good? Well, I think this is important. You know, and this could be somebody that is a national figure that you just followed from afar. You know, I like to tell my kids, I think in my lifetime, I probably, and this is sad that I have to say this, but I think in my lifetime, I was born in 1961, I think in my lifetime, there was probably only one, what I would call a great president. And I'm a big fan of Ronald Reagan. I like to quote Ronald Reagan. Was he perfect? No, he wasn't perfect. But I'll tell you, we could use him back again. We could use him or somebody like him back again. And so, you know, think about that. There's other people in this room that goes back, you know, you're 20 years older than me. You'd have probably a different answer. You had some incredible men as presidents in your lifetime. And you know, that maybe it's somebody that influenced you. Maybe it was a deacon at a church you went to. Maybe it was a farmer that lived down the road that you used to work for part-time. You know, are you listening? These stories die with you if you don't write them down. The lessons you learn from these people are going to disappear if you don't purposely pass them down. I think God lets you learn those things for a reason. It's not just for you. I think it's for your family. And so just think about these things. Let's see. Number 13, what books influenced your life the most? I think it'd be great for every grandparent to leave their grandchildren a reading list. How about this? Top 10 books. If I could only recommend 10 books that I could get every one of my grandkids to read, what books would it be? Well, I think I know what number 1 should be. Amen. Probably ought to start with this one. Amen. But just an idea there that you could write down. Let's see. Where am I at here now? 14. What is your favorite Bible verse? Make sure they know that. Maybe why you chose it, why it meant something to you. What was the story? What drew you to that? Verse 15, where did you go to church as a young person? What pastor had the greatest impact on your life? And by the way, it might be a pastor, it might be a youth leader, it might be a deacon, it may have been a Sunday school teacher. But again, share a little bit about your history, the churches that you attended as you grew up all the way to adulthood. Kids love to hear animal stories. What animal did you have? What pet did you have? Did you raise farm animals? Tell a little bit about it. 17, what jobs? And by the way, when you're telling these, there's stories connected to all these, I promise. And so don't just write down an answer. Stop and think, okay, what can I share about that? You know, maybe you had a dog and there's a story that happened. I tell our grandkids about a dog we had. You know, we raised two black labs, and they grew up with our kids. And matter of fact, the two of them died just a few weeks after Tabitha got married and left. We had to put them both down, but they were kind of the two dogs that the girls grew up with. And one of them we called Tag, because from a puppy, every time I'd go around to check the fence, we had cows then, and you know, I had electric fence, so you had to go around out every other morning, make sure Branch didn't get on. If I look out there and it's not working, I got to find out why. And he'd always tag along. And I mean, sometimes he'd be walking through weeds so deep, and he's a little puppy and he can't hardly get through it, but he was determined where I was going. So I called him Tag Along, and then it got shortened to Tag. And so, but the only problem with Tag was he'd like to wander off when he wasn't going with me. And he would go visit the neighbors, and he would steal their stuff. And I would wake up in the morning, and we live kind of out in the middle of nowhere, but he would roam around. And he would, I'd look out and there's somebody, he pulled off somebody's, you know, clothes off the clothesline, or there's a work boot that's all chewed up. Now I've got to go around, knock on the neighbor's door and find out whose work boot my dog chewed up so that I can buy the guy a new pair of, and I, you know, I mean, you're disciplining the dog, you're trying to train him not to do that, and I just, you know, tie him up for a while and do all this stuff, but man, I hate to leave a dog tied up. I just, pardon me, I'm not sure I'd have a dog if I had to have it tied up all the time. So we let him run, try to teach him to stay near the house, and but, you know, he kept pestering the neighbors. I told Cheryl, one of these days, that dog's going to get shot. Well, sure enough, I'm mowing the grass one day, and here comes Tag, and the mower's going. I can't hear anything. He comes running across the field, and he's running from the road, and he collapses in the middle of the field there. And I thought he got hit by a car. He's running from the road. The girls are all screaming, you know, and I go over there, and he's got blood on him. I thought, well, he got hit by a car, and he's kind of goes into shakes, and I thought, well, he's going to die, and the girls are all crying, and I'm thinking, we just need to put this dog down, but the girls are crying. So I did something I hardly ever do, and I loaded him in the truck and took him to a veterinarian, all right? And then the vet took an x-ray of the dog. More money and more money. I know what a .22 shell costs. Don't get mad at me. Don't get mad at me. But we live in a society where people care more about dogs than people. But anyway, I won't get off on that. But anyway, even though I kind of just did. But but you know, he brings the x-ray out and he said, here's the problem. And you could see a bullet in his shoulder. One of the neighbors shot the dog. And you know what? He laid on the porch for a while and he got better and got over it. And you know what, after that, guess what the moral of the story is? He stayed close to home. He ended up being the best dog we ever had, never left the property. Every time I said to do something, he did it. And this is what I tell the grandkids. I'm getting somewhere with this. I said, every dog's a better dog after he gets shot. And I tell young people, some of you, you keep straying outside the boundaries. You keep pushing the envelope. God's going to bring some judgment into your life. And you know what? If he spares your life, you're probably going to be a little bit better for it. Amen. 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 You know, so, you know, and that's a story that our grandkids hear. They know it. But I'm going to write it down for them. Going to have it for them. Got to go through the rest quickly. Give me the number. I'm lost. 17, what jobs have you worked in your lifetime? By the way, what's some of the lessons you learned? There's not one job I've ever had in my life that God didn't teach me something. And a secular job that prepared me to pastor. Something I learned in a secular job situation. 18, did you serve in the military? If not, which family member served? 19, what was the first car you owned? So, God, that's an important thing. Verse 20, what advice would you give to a young man or a young woman? 21, what churches were you a member of and when? 22, what were the different ways you served the Lord in your local church? You know, that's good for them to know. Number 23, what was the greatest answer to prayer that you ever received? Verse 24, how about this? What marriage advice would you give? What are your hopes and prayers for your children and grandchildren? Now look up here, and I'm finished, but I want to kind of give you something. Preacher, I would write these down, but my grandkids don't care a hoot about this stuff. I mean, I can't even hardly get them to come visit me. And great grandkids, they don't remember my name. And now look right up here. Okay, you were the same way when you were young. And yet you just raised your hand and said, I'd give anything to have a day. Listen to me. I would love for my grandkids to come to me more. But at their age, I don't really expect it. Are you listening to me? But there's going to be a day that they're going to be glad they haven't. So what am I going to do? Because they're not coming and ask. Well, if they want to know, they can come and ask me. Well, I guess then just wait and die and lose it all. Or leave them something. Leave them something that has an ability to impact them. Listen, I do things very purposefully so that I can still impact the world for Christ after I'm dead. I do those things on purpose. You know, you say, well, I bet John R. Rice has got great rewards in heaven. Wait a minute. His rewards haven't finished yet. He doesn't know what he's getting yet. He's still getting rewards down here because of some of the things he wrote. Now, you don't have to go write a book, but there's some things you ought to write. You may not be able to influence the world like he did, but you can influence your family. All right, I feel like I'm trying to sell it. Are you with me? All right. Some of your poker face, I can't tell if I'm convincing you or not. Well, some thoughts that I hope will be a blessing to you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, dear Lord, for, dear God, the people in our life that are so precious to us. Thank you for our parents and our grandparents. Thank you for their memories. Lord, we want to keep those things alive. We want to pass down to our children and their children, if you tarry, and their children's children, some of the lessons, some of the memories. And so, Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us to do this. Lord, I thought to myself, what a healing thing it was in my life to be able to spend time doing some of this. It helped me through some of the grieving process, and it helped me, I think, to be able to feel like that even though my parents aren't here, in some ways they're still impacting my family and my kids and my grandkids. So, Lord, I pray that you just help each one to take this, Lord, and do with it what you would have them do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.